listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. How the heck are you, Miller and Moulton, on this hump day? Let's get over it together, shall we, on the Florida Sports Network. Nice little sports night last night. A no-no last night. Albeit against one of our teams, but hey, a no-no's a no-no, a no-no. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing a lot better than Tampa Bay Lightning right now. That was a tough one last night for the Lightning.
They haven't had many of those in the last two-plus years in the playoffs. One of those that just flat gets away. And now, I think this is, what, only the second time during their run here that they're now facing elimination in a series? In the pandemic year, I don't think they ever had to play a game six or a seven in which they needed to win. And then last year, the Islanders put them in a game seven in the conference finals.
So Tampa, with their backs to the wall, they come home for game six after jumping out to a 2-0 lead last night.
I asked for 1-0 after one. Give me 1-0 going to the room after one, Lightning. Hell, they gave me 2-0. And as the late Denny Green said, and we let them off the hook.
They did. I thought they got a little passive in the second period, and Toronto took the entire game to them and held. You know, you want to use momentum, you want to use juice, you want to use style, whatever you want to throw in there. But Tampa watched Toronto take it to them in the second period and did not let up. They were relentless last night, and the Leafs come out with a much-needed win at home for them. Now they're up 3-2 and a chance to take out the defending champs in Tampa.
We're going back to Toronto.
I think so, too.
They're going to be so angry at themselves for letting that one get away. But they're going to have to win two in a row. They're going to have to win two in a row, something no one's done in this series. Leafs have won what? Games 1, 3, and 5? At some point, Mark, all right, if you're the Lightning, you got to win an odd number game.
That's it. That's all it boils down to. One more at home and then win an odd number game and you can move on. But I'll tell you what, last night, finally, I mean, I know it's tough because we're out on the Tampa market. We're pulling for Tampa. We want to see Tampa and Florida play in the next round.
Yes.
But finally in that series, we got a game.
Right.
We played 4 one-sided hockey games last night. We got a terrific, intense playoff game that I've been waiting for in this series since it started, David.
There actually have not been a lot of close games in the NHL playoffs. I mean, been a lot of good action, but you take a look at the results. I mean, Carolina 5-1 over Boston last night. St. Louis with 3 in the third, and 2 of them were really early in a 5-2 win. And we have not had a lot of close games. I mean, there's been, so far, I think there's been 4 overtime games. That's it so far. No, I mean, we're not through to the first round, but I mean, there are times, you know.
Hell, there are times that there are 3 overtimes in one series by this point. 3 right. Overtime games in one series. So you're right. There have not been close series, not close games.
But a no-no last night, don't know how many of you are aware, were aware as it was happening, watched any part of it, but the Tampa Bay Rays got no hit last night. They got bombed early, and then the only drama was whether or not 22-year-old rookie Reed Detmers was going to finish the no-no. Verlander, early in the night, took a no-no into the eighth. He was going for his 4th no-hitter. Would have tied Koufax for 2nd all-time.
Wow.
Got one out into the 8th before Gio Urshela with an opposite field single. Then he gets a double play ball and he's out of there. He faced the minimum through 8. He's like, I mean, what's, is he 40? Or 39 and a lot of change?
Got to be close.
Yeah, he's like 4-1 with an ERA of 1.5 so far. I mean, he looks terrific after missing the last year plus with major surgery.
39. 39 mowing them down.
Crushing them last night. So he takes a no-no into the eighth, and then the 22-year-old rookie out in Anaheim. And first off, nowadays, any pitcher toeing the rubber to start the ninth inning, I don't care if it's a no-no or not. I mean, honestly, it's tough to find a starting pitcher make it to the ninth inning, but he had 94 pitches, I think it was, through eight. And so, you know, Madden's like, go for it, kid. I think he only had two strikeouts. I mean, it wasn't one of those, you know, he struck out 13 guys and the ball was in play all night.
A lot of shocking developments there in and of itself. Only a couple of strikeouts and balls in play. That's not baseball anymore.
So, and games a rout. Angels score four in the eighth, but they did it quickly, a pair of two-run homers. So, I mean, it wasn't. So there he is, of course. He's sitting in the dugout. No one's talking to him.
Right, and the last thing he needs is a 15-18 inning top of the inning.
Right. And so, but fortunately, it's like, you know, Trout, homers, Rendon, homers. You know, base runner, homer. Base runner, homer. I mean, it happened in 4 minutes. And so he goes back out there. Gets it done. I think he threw like 106, 108 pitches. Something like that. How about that? Second youngest in Angels history. Bo Belinsky back in the day.
Old Belinsky, huh?
Yeah.
Belinsky, he owes me money.
That's nice. That's Stripes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a nice one. Good reference there. But 12-0 was the final. It's an odd no-hitter, but Reed Detmers, 22-year-old lefty, no hits the Rays.
So a tough night for Tampa.
Right.
Great sports night, tough night for Tampa. They get no hit in baseball. More importantly, the Lightning go down 3-2 to the Leafs.
But fortunately, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback got a part-time job.
In which he will make obscene amounts of money whenever it is he starts with his part-time job.
I don't know if you've been to a convenience store lately, but they've got those signs in which, you know, they're now paying like $15, $15.50 up to $20 an hour, you know, trying to entice workers. I mean, you know, in Tom's case, you know, it's, I don't know what it comes to an hour, but I mean, apparently it's going to be like 35 or more million a year.
A year.
A year. A year.
Hey, Troy, Tony, how you guys doing now?
Just listen.
There's a new quarterback on the block, and his name's Tom Brady.
Well, Tom, how much money do you want? Well, I don't know. How much did Joe and Troy get with ESPN over there? Well, the one guy reportedly got about 15, and the other guy reportedly got about 18. And he goes, well, all right, that's 33. And then how about a little something for the effort? Gotta admit, is this like if Michael Jordan decided after his NBA career was over, I'm going to call NBA games?
I guess.
Is this Tiger joining the Tower? But it's not just doing the Masters. I mean, it's Tiger doing the entire PGA Tour. Like doing all 22 tournaments with Nance here. I mean, this is an all-timer saying, you know what? Give me the headset.
Hey, no matter how bad he is, you think it'll be better than Kings Oilers last night?
Oh, don't go there. Don't go there. Wow. It's never good when you're a play-by-play person and you're trending on Twitter.
No, it is not.
That's never a good thing.
Never.
Very rarely. I mean, there are times in which, you know, maybe you nail the call of a great moment and you could be trending in a good way. But usually when you're a national sportscaster and you are trending after the game that you just called, the odds are not a good thing.
Unless it's Gus Johnson, the odds are it's bad.
Right.
I really believe that. But Tom gets paid.
Wow. Damn.
Who's his spotter?
Don't know. Don't know. Don't know if he's ever thought about it.
Don't know if he actually realizes there is one.
Right. Not sure he fully realizes what's entailed with this job. The part of it that I liked was, first off, you know it's a big deal. It wasn't announced by the president of Fox Sports.
No.
No, it was announced by the president of Fox. Last name Murdoch. That's who did this announcement. Right. That's number one. But number two is, how surprised are you?
I'm stunned because, one, every single move that Troy was going to make, and not because of you, because you don't tell me squat. It's not really any of my business. But the Post had the money and the places, and we knew it was Amazon, or we knew, and all of a sudden Monday Night Football came in. So we had a good idea. If you follow the people who write about the media, you had a pretty good idea what was that something was going on. There was no talk of this.
No.
There was nothing out there that gave us any inclination that Tom Brady was looking to do anything but own the Miami Dolphins when he was done playing.
Right.
That, and he just never wants to spend any time at his house. That whole line about family and kids and wife and bull blank, Tom. You are a... Either she doesn't want you around or you don't want to be around with... I don't understand. She's gorgeous. And the first thing you want to do is get out of the house again, Tom.
That must have been a traumatic 10 weeks that he was home.
That is a hell of a retirement.
He retires 10 weeks later. He's back playing, and B, he's finding the first good part-time job he can find post-retirement.
I mean, what, Walmart greeter wasn't available, Tom?
Well, it was, but, I mean, they don't pay this well.
They were only offering 30 mil?
What I love is that Lachlan Murdoch announced that Tom was basically also going to be shaking hands and kissing babies for Fox sponsors. That part of the salary is, yeah, he's going to call games, but, you know, he's also going to, you know, make appearances on behalf of our, you know, clients. Wow. Miller and Moulton, Fox, Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Hour, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Top of the morning to you on this Wednesday, the 11th of May. Did you see that the PGA Tour has rendered a decision? And people were actually surprised by it.
I was just surprised that blank you wasn't anywhere in the...
I mean, what country are they living in? Are they paying attention? I read golf writers late yesterday saying, many of us are surprised that this is the decision. And I don't know why went to minor league baseball guy.
Thank
there.
Thank you, Brockmire. I no idea where that came from, but I'm happy that you went there this early.
I don't know. We're actually surprised that they rendered this decision. We thought, based on past precedent, that they would let them play in the events that are outside the country, but wouldn't let them play in the events that are scheduled for in the United States. We thought that was how they were going to split the atom. Are you serious?
No, I think the only question you and I had is, after the PGA Tour said no, are these guys going to stick it out and defect?
And then are they dead to the PGA Tour?
Right.
I mean, is the PGA Tour going to say, well, that's it, you're done. See you in court.
Right. This is going according to Hoyle, the way you and I saw it, right?
So the PGA Tour officially denied the releases for all the players, and we don't know exactly how many. According to Greg Norman, who's heading up this, officially it's called the LIV Tour, but we just describe it as the Saudi Tour. It's easier to understand that way. So the PGA Tour officially denies the releases for players who wanted to play in the first LIV event, which is scheduled for the second weekend in June in London. And I guess those in the golf community said, based on past precedent, that they thought that the PGA Tour would grant the releases for the events not in the U.S., but I believe there's four events that are scheduled in the States, two of them on Trump properties, one in Jersey, one at Doral. There's one scheduled for near Portland, and I forget where the other one is in the States. And they thought that the PGA Tour would never allow them to play in an event that was actually in the States, but that overseas, you know, because they've granted releases in the past to play in non-sanctioned events overseas.
Right. Most recently, that tournament in Dubai, which was a cash grab, and they all went and played, and they released them all. And for that reason, for whatever reason, the release of the players for that tournament must have... That's the past precedent in which the golf media is talking about. But one was a one-off tournament in Dubai for a cash grab. The right. other's a rival tour.
Correct.
There's a canyon of difference between what these events bring to the table. And for golf writers to not understand that, I don't know what they're doing for a living.
I know. I mean, to us, it seemed, well, of course they were going to deny the releases. But they made it official yesterday. I will say this. I'm glad the PGA Tour got it out of the way before PGA Championship week. I mean, next week is a big deal to the PGA of America. Try to stay out of their way. And so, all right, they rendered their verdict. Now, I guess we'll see. Between Phil and Sergio and reportedly Lee Westwood. I mean, there are others. You know, Bubba's been mentioned. We don't know if that's true or not. Ian Poulter's been mentioned. We don't know if that's true. You know, Phil, Sergio, Westwood, none of them have denied that they sought releases. So now we'll see whether or not they're going to show up in London.
Well, and the other thing is they leaked out their... I mean, it started with a little bit of a leak that they said no. The question now is, how many of the 17 out of the top 100 are we going to find out exactly who they are between now and then?
Right.
Are those names going to come out? But to point something out to everybody of how insignificant this tour could be, do you know that 31 of the top 100 weren't in the Wells Fargo tournament this last week? I mean, losing 17 out of the top 100 is a pimple on the PGA Tour.
Correct. Correct. But, which is why I believe the PGA Tour realizes that this is the approach we have to take. Because in theory, you could have 20 of those 31 say, moonlight, and say, well, I'm not going to play in the Wells Fargo. I'll go play in this LIV event, which it pays eight times more. And then I'll come back and start playing the PGA Tour again. And the tour's going, no, we're not going to let you moonlight.
Because what would happen then is that the tour you're moonlighting out could get a lot of popularity. If you're allowing any player to go play this and give them the opportunity to make cash, you have the opportunity for them to stay on that tour. And that's what they're fearful of. So to your point, David, that's why you have to shut it down.
And so, all right, PGA Tour's drawn their line in the sand, right? They've said no, and they said if you cross this, you're dead to us. Now, there is some debate as to whether or not it will be a short-term suspension or whether it will be a permanent ban.
Yeah, it's going to be a permanent ban.
Well, I will say this. You know, I believe if the PGA Tour was smart, they would not issue permanent bans, but they would hand out like 3 or 6 month suspensions. Because, you know, think about this. Like you and I think Phil got suspended. That this sabbatical was, you know, no. The PGA Tour said, Phil, you're done.
Yeah, you cannot go after the bartender at the club like that after you've had that many drinks. You got a letter. You're not allowed back for 3 months.
Right. Don't know what to tell you.
There are many of you listening right now that know exactly what I'm talking about.
You know, Dustin Johnson, you know.
Right, he got a letter.
He did not take those 6 months off back in the day to do self-reflection.
Nope.
No. So, and from a court standpoint, a legal standpoint, the PGA Tour has been well within their right to hand down suspensions. No one's ever challenged them on that. A lifetime ban is a different story. And that's why I think they could get away with, oh, what are you talking about? We gave him a 90-day suspension.
Right, your first suspension's 90 days. You do it again, we make it 6 months, and then we make it a year.
Right, treat it like PEDs in baseball. So we'll see where it goes from here. But the PGA Tour officially said no. Which
and
you
that
and
apparently
I
surprised some people.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And so we'll see who shows up. That is the week before the U.S. Open.
And it was across from the Canadian Open.
On
for
tour.
For the PGA Tour event.
So we'll see how many people show up for it. And then, quite frankly, Mark, we'll see if the USGA then gets involved. You know, we have wondered, will the major championships fall in line with whatever punishment the PGA Tour hands down?
And so far, it's just been no punishment. It's just been you can't leave the tour. So it wouldn't affect the Open or the U.S. Open or the PGA for that matter. But we shall see down the road how they are going to take what their course, how they take action going forward with any of these players who are going to try to make an attempt to play on the LIV Saudi tour.
Gut feeling. Think the PGA Tour is just going to essentially fire them all, ban them?
Yes.
I do, too. This is going to be glorious. Glorious. It's going all the way to the Supreme Court. It'll be fabulous. It'll take 3 years.
The only negative is there's no chance of that Drive to Survive show ever happening on the PGA Tour now.
It would have been amazing. Get all the behind-the-scenes backdoor politics of everything that's gone down in the last 100, 150 days.
Yeah, I don't think the PGA Tour wants their dirty laundry aired quite like
that. No.
Miller and Moulton, thanks for listening. Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes before the hour. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. I got a great story in the starting five.
Okay.
So I may zoom through the starting five just so we have enough time to talk about this one great story. Either that or we'll have to carry it over to the next hour.
It's your call. I don't know what the story is.
It's golf related.
And I don't know how many stories you have in your starting five. There's supposed to be five, but usually there's somewhere between 11 and 16.
Well, I don't know if there's supposed to be five stories. There's supposed to be five categories.
You've morphed it into that.
Well, and then, you know, you've got under the categories umbrellas and, you know, tangents and what have you. Let's get to it.
The starting five. Five stories you need to know. It's the starting five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
Tom Brady has a part-time job. It will not affect his full-time job as quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but once he's done playing for the Bucs, he's going to call games on Fox. 10-year deal, reportedly worth up to $375 million. He will make, if he were to... If reports are correct and he were to do the whole contract, he would make more, $40 million more broadcasting for Fox in 10 years than he did playing in the NFL for 23. Not that there's a lot of money in broadcasting these games right now.
None whatsoever.
That's right. He will make roughly 40 plus million more with Fox in 10 years than he would playing quarterback in the NFL for 23.
Seems about right.
Did you see this story?
You gotta build that resume, David, in order to get the big job.
Well, he's appeared in 10 Super Bowls and won 7.
That's why he's getting $37
million. I don't know if you have to list anything else on the resume. What have you done? Well, I got this one factoid right here. I've won more Super Bowls than any franchise. Is that good enough? What's that worth? I don't know. Pick a number. I'll let you know when you're in the ballpark. Former Jags kicker Josh Lambeau, did you see this? He's suing the team. He's saying Urban Meyer created a hostile work environment.
No!
I got to admit, from what we've been told, I think he's got a pretty good case. But he's seeking $3.5 million in lost salary. Basically, they cut him. And if they didn't cut him, that's what he would have made, I think.
Don't kick the kicker.
Well, they investigated that, the Jags did, and they basically did not come to the conclusion that the story he was telling was right. So, no, he did not sue Urban, by the way. He's suing the Jags. So, needless to say, they're going to fight this. Longtime Bills defensive end Jerry Hughes ends up signing with Houston. NBA playoffs last night. Heat led by 12 at the half and by 15 after three, and then blew out the Sixers. 120-85. Jimmy Butler with 23. Joel Embiid injured his back, going for a loose ball. Game 6 in Philly tomorrow. Suns and Mavs in Phoenix. Mavs led by 7 mid-second quarter.
You wouldn't know it if you just got up and looked at the score.
And from that point on, Phoenix outscored Dallas 80-43. 110-80. Phoenix leads that series 3-2. Couple of game fives tonight. Boston and Milwaukee tied at 2. Celtics home, 5.5-point favorites. And Memphis trying to stay alive. No Ja Morant. Bone bruise in the knee. Likely would miss the rest of the playoffs.
But remember, their record without Morant's pretty good.
20-6, I believe.
Yeah.
And that includes the 3-point loss at Golden State the other night. Memphis getting 4 tonight at home, facing elimination.
I like the 4.
I'm with you. I am with you. We had 4 game 5s in the NHL last night, and all 4 series were tied at 2. In Toronto, Lightning blew a 2-0 first period lead and a 2-1 lead in the third. Too many men on the ice penalty got things started in the second period. Leafs scored on the power play. And then when they were on the power play in the third period, leading 2-1, Stamkos gets called for a high stick, makes it 4-on-4. The Leafs score twice to take the lead. Matthews, the game winner with 6 minutes to go, 4-3 Toronto. The Leafs lead 3-2, Lightning facing elimination tomorrow in Tampa. Seth Jarvis, 2 goals for Carolina, 5-1 over Boston. Tarasenko scored a hat trick in the third period to break a 2-2 tie. St. Louis up 3-2 now on the Wild, winning game 5, 5-2. And Adrian Kempe, a minute 12 into overtime. Thank goodness it ended quickly. So you didn't have to keep listening to the game.
That must have been a hell of a goal call in overtime.
Can only imagine. Kings 5-4 over Edmonton. LA leads the series 3-2. Everyone associated with the Oilers organization is going to get fired if they lose this series. And I do mean everyone. Tonight, Panthers try to break the 2-2 tie with Washington. Pittsburgh tries to eliminate the Rangers. And Dallas and Calgary are tied at 2 north of the border. The Canadians, who played for Lord Stanley's Cup just a year ago, won the NHL draft lottery and will pick first overall.
And they were supposed to win the lottery. They had the best odds. They were the worst team in the league.
This will be the first time that the Canadians are drafting first overall since, was it 1980? Doug Wickenheiser? I think
the late Doug Wickenheiser, who ended up being a bust.
Yeah.
played with the Fort Wayne Comets, David, in the IHL, in case you wondered.
Reed Detmers, 22-year-old Angels rookie lefty, no-hit the Rays last night, threw 108 pitches in doing so. One walk, two Ks in the no-hitter. Trout hit two homers. Angels won 12-0. Marlins have lost 9 of 10. Arizona beat them for the fifth straight time, 9-3. Judge with his first ever walk-off homer, a three-run job in the ninth. Yankees 6-5 over the Jays. Well, Mark, you said bet the Brewers and bet them hard. What are the odds the Reds were going to win three in a row? Milwaukee 5-4. Cincinnati's not only 6-24 on the season. That's a 200 winning percentage. But they've accomplished something, Mark, which had not been done since 1893. They have yet to have a starting pitcher pitch into the seventh inning in their first 30 games of a season. I didn't realize they went to the bullpen so much back in 1893, but almost 130 years. That's how woeful this Reds team is.
We're going to keep hearing about records that they're going to set this year.
I mean, they're on pace to win like 30 to 32 games. Detroit and Oakland split a doubleheader. 6-0 and 4-1. Detroit won the first, lost the second. Cora shaved for the Red Sox, trying to like make change things up.
Worked for a night.
They scored 6 in the second inning. I think it was Devers with a slam. Red Sox beat the Braves 9-4. Mets scored 3 in the sixth to double up Washington 4-2. There was a rat on the field. A rat. And it was apparently like a dog promotion night. So there were dogs in the ballpark.
Dogs and rats?
Right.
Thank goodness it wasn't a cat promotion.
That's exactly what the PR person for the Nats tweeted out. Great minds think alike. Good for you. Mets lead in the East is 7, by the way. Dodgers 11-1 over the Pirates. Houston 5-0 over Minnesota. Verlander took a no-hitter into the 8th. He's 4-1. Baltimore's won 5 of 6. They beat the Cardinals 5-3. Texas got two homers from Corey Seager. They beat the Royals 6-4. White Sox 4-1 over Cleveland. Padres beat the Cubs 5-4. Their manager, Bob Melvin's going to have surgery. And he'll be out a while. Seattle, thanks to 4 Phillies errors, beat the Phillies 5-4. And the Giants beat the Rockies for the 9th straight time, 9-2, the final. The PGA Tour officially denied releases for their players to participate in the first LIV event scheduled for June 9th through 11th in London. We'll see what happens from here. Bob Lanier passed away yesterday. After a short illness, the Hall of Famer was 73 years old, a St. Bonaventure legend. Led him to the Final Four, but got hurt and never played in that Final Four. And had a distinguished career, mostly with the Pistons. Averaged 20 points, 10 rebounds a game. And finally, did you hear the story about 26-year-old John Eckert? Plays fantasy football.
Oh, he didn't do well in fantasy football, did he?
Well, in fact, he finished last in his league.
Yep.
And somehow, some way, the bet was whoever finished last had to try to qualify for the U.S. Open.
Yes, I did see this.
So he signed up for the U.S. Open qualifier, which was yesterday at Oakwood Country Club in Kansas City. Well, you have to wonder, you know, how, because there's a...
a minimum handicap I thought you had to have
it's
in
like
order to...
2.7. He signed up saying he was a pro.
So he lied.
Yes, he did.
Oh, and then he and everybody in his league, they're reals because it's lost its sense of humor to me now.
Okay, well, so he lied. He put on the thing that he was a pro. That's how they just took it and accepted it and what have you, put him in. He spent too much time on the range practicing. He actually missed his tee time. All right, and he's familiar with the course, and he knows where the 10th tee is, and he shows up on the 10th tee, and his group's gone. And so he incurs the two-stroke penalty, I think it is, hits, and shoots 58. Now, he told the other two golfers right away. He said, hey, just so you know, this is the deal and what have you. And they said, okay, here's the deal. We don't care, but you got to keep up. We're not going to wait for you. And so he said the guys were cool, and he did play fast. He shot a buck 12 plus 40. That's with four pars, including parring three of his last five holes. How about that? A strong finish for a buck 12. So the USGA has banned him from all future events because of the 112, and because he said he was a pro, they say, well, you've now lost your amateur status.
Oh, no. Boy, did they hand it to him there.
So, I don't know if they're going to
kick... I'm impressed that the two guys played with him were cool about it.
They were. Yeah. So, 26-year-old John Eckert, as punishment for finishing last in his fantasy football league, had to try to qualify for the U.S. Open yesterday and shot a buck 12. Even par 72 was low score and qualified for the U.S. Open.
Just curious, do we know what the two guys in the group shot?
We do not.
Knew I shouldn't have asked that question.
But they were quoted as saying, it's unusual, but, you know, we were cool with it as long as we didn't have to wait for him. He had a 10 on one hole. A par four.
He shot 112.
He did. 58-54 officially.
It's a long day.
I mean, Mark, it would have been a buck 10 if he had showed up on time.
Then there's that.
And he did say, what was I taking extra time on the range for? Like, that was going to make a difference. And that was the starting five. So it's not a cute story.
Oh, disgust me.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I thought you were going to say that he did better. Like, I thought you were going to say it was a crazy story where he just shot like 80 or something.
Well, no, it's a crazy story because I thought the same thing you did, Mark. I'm like, well, how does a golfer this bad get into a U.S. Open qualifier? Because the restrictions are you got to be a pro or an amateur with like a registered 2 handicap that you can prove. Well, he lied. Said he was a pro.
And they just believed it.
Apparently so. Check the right box. Got him in. Pay your entry fee.
And the USGA is going to do anything about the LIV tour. Right.
Well, that'll be what you use against the USGA. You're like, hold on a second. You let John Eckert try to qualify for the U.S. Open. You're kicking Sergio out? What, are you kidding?
John Eckert.
Some Overland Park, Kansas. Come on now. So, what I'm curious about, I don't know what the guy's actual handicap is because, you know, they have the old adage, you know, what would a scratch golfer shoot on these courses, et cetera. Just, you know.
112.
Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network.